This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's the Barton Hahn Show, ESPN Radio. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And as we're going through a lot of NFL talk here, just updating everyone, Deshaun Watson finally tweets about loyalty. Another ESPN insider says, and that's Diana Rossini, one more person saying the Texans are not trading him, period, end of story. And then while that's going on, you have Russell Wilson. And now a story starting to emerge about Russell Wilson not being happy about when he talked to Seattle about how changes it should be to the offense, and apparently they were dismissed, so he storms out of the meeting, and now his camp is pushing the idea that maybe Russell Wilson would like to be traded. And some of the locations include the Raiders, the Dolphins, and the New York Jets. And I think it's a perfect way to bring in Mel Kiper Jr., who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline as Mel put out his mock draft. Because, Mel, I think before we even get to the mock and decisions that you have there that are really intriguing, the first thing I want to ask you is when you, in a year like this, which is, I feel, unprecedented, with so much quarterback uncertainty from team to team and some potentially big names being moved, does that work into your thinking when you're doing the mock, when you're putting this stuff together, that, well, if that guy's getting traded or this player is getting traded, it changes everything in the way the draft could go down?
You think about it when you're doing the mock, guys, but you can't really let it alter what you do because you don't know where. Is Deshaun Watson going to be traded? If so, who does he go to? Yeah, you can't really worry about that. You just have to plug a guy in. If you think that team desperately needs a quarterback and it doesn't work out for Watson, Carolina's going to take a quarterback. If they don't make the deal for Deshaun, who's that quarterback going to be? You know, so you got to really just plug the guys in, let the chips fall where they may. If a quarterback's, you know, traded between now and the next mock, you adjust for mock 3.0 or mock 4.0, wherever it may be. So I don't go into the mock draft worrying about where a guy may be traded. You know, to me, if Deshaun Watson stays, great. Houston wasn't affecting the first round at all. If he's traded to a team, so be it. I'll just make that move in the next mock.
Now tell me this: when I look at the quarterback, the prospects, you know, is it possible that other teams have other quarterbacks at number two as their second, you know, quarterback on the board? And does that vary? Will that affect who jumps up to potentially make a trade like you have at two? Let's just say that it's another team like the Panthers that may have somebody outside of Zach Wilson that they think number two, and they hurry up and jump because they're afraid that somebody else is going to take them. Who's the clear-cut number two? Is it just Zach Wilson for everybody, or do you think that that varies from team to team?
Great question, Bart. I think it's a consensus is what you try to build. You're never going to have – there are some that think Zach Wilson's better than Trevor Lawrence. I'm not buying that. But, you know, we had some that thought RG3 was better than Andrew Luck. Some that thought Ryan Leaf was better than Peyton Manning. Some thought Rick Meyer was better than Drew Bledsoe. So we can go on and on with – there's always going to be somebody. But what's the consensus going to be? And I think the consensus – and these are people you speak to in the league – feel that Zach Wilson is a number two quarterback. I have Justin Fields as my number two quarterback on the ratings board. But a mock draft isn't my ratings board. It's a mock draft is what the NFL is going to do come late April. And for right now, as we speak, Zach Wilson, I think, will be the second quarterback taken. Third quarterback taken, I think, will be Justin Fields. Fourth quarterback taken, debate between Mac Jones, Alabama, Trey Lance, North Dakota State. So that's the way I see it right now. But obviously, there's a lot to be said and done with the little amount of information we have on these players because of anything but a normal year. There's a lot of work to be done between now and late April.
Well, when I look at the draft, I'm trying to ask myself, who's one of the teams that's desperate enough to make sure that they ensure that they get their guy? Because we assume that maybe right. Zach Wilson is the Atlanta choice, but it could be Justin Fields as well. So because you don't know that, could it be Carolina? Could it be potentially San Francisco? Or is it just Atlanta because they have the shortest distance to go to get to two, which means they give up less assets?
It's Atlanta because I felt like that made sense for me to get the Jets' Kyle Pitts. So it was kind of method to the madness there, guys, to get Kyle Pitts somewhere to make sense. This was more about Kyle Pitts than it was about Atlanta. Okay, Atlanta makes sense to me. I wanted to get Kyle Pitts at that four spot to the Jets. I think he's one of the best players in this draft, number two player in this draft behind Trevor Lawrence. Love Kyle Pitts. So I thought for the Jets it would be a great move. For Atlanta, yeah, I could make an argument. Dan Orlovsky today argued with me against it. Say, well, you got Matt Ryan. He's going to be 30. He's not 35. He'll be 36 in May coming up. Okay, yeah. And you bet Joe Flacco came into the NFL the same year, so won a Super Bowl. Matt hasn't. Should have won one, didn't. Bottom line is, there's nothing wrong with drafting a quarterback. If you feel Wilson is head and shoulders above Fields or Jones or Lance, you go from 4 to 2, you get him. You keep Matt as a starter for a year. What if last year when the Detroit Lions were picking third and they had Matthew Stafford, and I thought last year they were going to trade Stafford. They didn't. Yeah. What if they would have drafted Justin Herbert instead of Jeff Okuda? How would that have worked out? Yeah. So again, I think you got to have foresight. Okay, Matt Ryan may be a real good starter for one more year, but then it'll be 37, then 38. So I think if you can get that quarterback that you deem, whoever it may be, if it's Wilson or Fields, the second best quarterback, or maybe they stay at 4 and take Fields. But I think if you feel one of these quarterbacks is going to be elite and you're Atlanta, plus Atlanta doesn't plan on picking in the fourth spot next year and the years after. They think they're going to be a better team than that. So while you're picking up here, guys, why not get the guy you feel is the second best quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence? And obviously right now, as I mentioned, there are a couple people think Jack Wilson's better than Trevor Lawrence. I think they're crazy, but they have a right to their opinion.
That's where I was going to go with you next. That familiar voice you hear, Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN senior NFL draft analyst, joining us right now after his latest mock has been released. Again, Trevor Lawrence, number one, Jacksonville. I think you could probably put that one in Sharpie, right? That's not going to change at all. But the very interesting move that we were just talking about is the Jets trading out of number two, which I do think would be what everybody expects, with the Atlanta Falcons moving up to take Zach Wilson of BYU. The Jets would then move to 4, and they would take the tight end. So with Jacksonville in Sharpie, all right, with Trevor Lawrence, Mel, would you say the Jets are pretty close to maybe erasable ink at trading out of number two?
I would say so. And I think, you know, you think about what the offers are going to be to go get that quarterback. Now, that's assuming that they feel Sam Darnold is the right man for the job. If they don't, then the drafting Zach Wilson would make sense there, because if they feel, hey, we can get better with Zach, trade Sam. I'm sure there will be teams in the late first. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and how desperate they are for the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger. So if you can want to make that move, you can do that. Obviously, you think about Deshaun Watson. If you can get Deshaun Watson, you're certainly going to make that trade for the New York Jets. There's no question about that. So there are other options for the Jets beyond sticking with Sam Darnold if they feel there's a better way to go. But for me, Wilson would be a sideways move with Darnold. I would much rather have Darnold and Kyle Pitts than Zach Wilson and no Kyle Pitts. That would be my argument there for the Jets sticking with Sam.
I got to ask about Zach Wilson too, because, like, obviously, you know, you have him now very high on the board, and there's just been so much momentum around this player that really, and you said it perfectly as well, this has been a tough year. Like, even the NBA draft was the same thing. How do you possibly really rate what you saw on a field where seasons were truncated, some didn't even play, some didn't play that much, and yet you're trying to do the same thing you would do in a regular draft, which is assess talent and are they ready for the NFL? This guy, still to me, aren't there a lot of question marks about what he can be? Is he, even though you take him high, he's not a start right away guy, is he? Is he a guy that you would project to be, you got to at least give him a year before you'd expect to see much out of him?
Couple real good points you're making there. I think, first of all, the quarterbacks that we think need time, Susie Colbert always yells at me when I say, she says, they're never going to get time. They're playing right away. And normally she's right. 90% of the time, Susie's right on. These guys are playing as rookies at some point. So even if you're a 20-year-old Trey Lance with just 1 year as a starter at North Dakota State, you're probably going to play. And I think when you look at the also what you said about the information, I call it the most mysterious draft ever. I've been doing it 43 years. It's hard to find guys. It's hard to find Bart Scott in the day. It's going to be harder to find any of these guys back now. You think about where we are in the evaluation process for, say, an opt-out. An opt-out you had no ability to communicate with, deal with at all this year. What was that player doing? What kind of shape is he in? He's removed from football a year plus. Then you had other guys that did play, but it was anything but a normal season. I think as scouts, you have to project more this year, and that's really what a scout should do. I keep hearing criticisms of Justin Fields that, well, he doesn't throw with anticipation. He's got to see the guy open to throw it. Well, they said the same thing about Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. How did that go? And I always thought scouts were supposed to not have to just see it. They're supposed to project and anticipate. So scouts are criticizing Justin Fields for what they should be doing. So to me, it makes no sense, guys. And I think you now, as a scout, general manager, personnel director, have to project more this year than you ever have before.
You know, I'm trying to figure out, because usually It's the player from the D1AA that's the surprise, the guy that rises up because he goes to the combine. Mm-hmm. He's able to wow you at some of the senior bowl games and things of that sort. Last year, it was Jeremy Chinn. But because we had mm-hmm. so many opt-outs, who's going to be that surprise player that didn't play this year? And will he be from like a mid-major – well, not a mid-major, but from like the MAC? Or who's that player that's going to ascend up the board that nobody can see coming unless you've been doing your scouting and doing your homework for more than a year?
Well, that's a great question. I think a Christian Uphoff is a kid, you know, from Illinois State, a safety who's got talent. He's not Jeremy Chinn out of Southern Illinois, that great Salukis program, Bart.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's no question he's not Jeremy Chinn, but, you know, a Christian Uphoff could be a guy that factors in maybe early in day three. A guy from the major schools that's going to go way up there, and he's kind of a projection, too, because I would have loved to have seen him play this year, was Caleb Farley at Virginia Tech, the corner. He had a really good year in 2019, coverage-wise, didn't tackle well, former wide receiver. This is the year you want to see him become a complete corner. Well, he didn't play. He opted out early. So he will probably end up being the best cover guy out of this draft, but maybe Patrick Surtain from Alabama goes ahead of him because he played, and he played pretty well. But the upside of Farley is certainly there. So it's going to be interesting to see at a lot of these positions how much the opt-outs are affected by not playing, and does that push them down a bit where had they played, they might have gone maybe 5-10 spots higher.
What's the deepest position in this draft? Where is it a lot of value at in this draft where teams can say, you know what, I'm going to wait for this position because I have to get this position first?
I would say definitely wide receiver. That's one of the reasons why I would take Kyle Pitts over the wide receiver there, because you're not going to find a Kyle Pitts in the second, third round, but you may see comparable wide receivers in the second, third round. So I think you're going to have 7 or 8 receivers go in the second round, another 5, 6, 7 go in the third round. So great depth at wide receiver and really good depth at corner. It's hard to find the fourth corner behind Surtain, Farley, and J.C. Horn from South Carolina. I think it could be Kelvin Joseph, Kentucky, but everybody, Tyson Campbell, Georgia, but everybody's kind of all over the place on the fourth corner. But there is a great depth at that position. There's some real good slot corners like Elijah Molden out of Washington. So you got, ironically, you got the great receivers, and you also have the great cover guys, which is a good balance coming into the NFL with you got the cover guys and the receivers, got both sides of the ball covered in terms of the strengths, in terms of depth in this draft.
It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, talking with Mel Kiper Jr. about his latest mock. In the top 10, you have three trades that we just mentioned. The first one, the second and third ones really catch my eye. The 49ers in a trade with the Lions going after the quarterback, Justin Fields. And then the New England Patriots moving up to 9 with Denver to take Trey Lance. And you would see, obviously, the Patriots are certainly in that place to look for quarterbacks. But this is quarterback-heavy draft. There's no doubt about it. But I love the fact that you waived the no-trade clause in the mock. I think that is a must because it makes it more exciting. But are you expecting this to be that kind of draft, too, where it's going to be, I'm not going to say mayhem, but a lot of aggressive activity in the top 10?
I think with the quarterbacks, it will. You know, keep in mind, Buffalo traded up for Josh Allen. You know, Deshaun Watson was traded up for. Mahomes was traded up for. Even Trubisky, they went up one spot to get him. So these quarterbacks are going to be traded up for. Next year's draft with Sam Howell, North Carolina, Keaton Slovis, USC, not nearly what this is. You got to wait a couple years for the Clemson quarterback, the heir apparent to Trevor Lawrence. So I think when you look at this year, I think those 5 quarterbacks will be aggressively moved up 4. That's why I put New England and Carolina. It made it tricky with Carolina because they had Mac Jones in Mobile. And I know Saban and Belichick, that connection is strong with New England and Mac Jones. But then you have Trey Lance there where talent wins out. He's the dual threat quarterback. Had he played another year at North Dakota State, he would have been, in my opinion, guys, Trey Lance would have been the number 1 overall pick guaranteed in next year's draft. Mm-hmm. So now you're getting a guy with that kind of talent in that 9 spot. 7 spot rather than number 1, number 2 overall. So I can make an argument that Trey Lance is going to provide some value where he comes off the board.
Because of the unknown about how these prospects are going to pan out, because we know so little about them, we don't have the film, we have to, you know, players can have tremendous mm-hmm. growth. You think about Joe Burrow, where he was on people's board the year before he went to LSU,
mm-hmm. exactly.
And how quickly they can jump. So without knowing that, are you going to see these picks not have as much value as they had before, and maybe people trading these picks on game day to make sure that they get the one guy that they want? And if that's being said, what type of compensation does it take or cost for a team to move from 4 to 2 or a team to move from 9 to 2? Because I remember when the Jets moved and they made the trade with the Colts, you know, they got 3 number 2s. And then in turn, those turned into pretty good players. They were still able to drop and get their you know, Quentin Nelson. But, you know, if a team like Atlanta wants to move from 4 to 2, what type of real compensation is that going to be to try and move up?
Yeah, it would end up being, you know, you flip-flop picks, you give up a 2, then you would give up another pick next year. So it would be something you have to give up, especially knowing it's a quarterback. And I think when you look at the value of that position, would make that pick really pretty much equal to what it has been. But to your point about the mystery of the draft and not having information, if you're in the third round and you decide, okay, if somebody's going to offer me a 2 next year for my third-round pick this year, I might take it. If you want to give me a 3 next year for my 4th this year, maybe I'll take it. So, again, some teams may want to bail out of there. Some teams want to jump in because they fall in love with a player in the 3rd, 4th round that they have to have. I really believe some of these opt-outs, guys, will be bargains. Because if you're going to push some of these guys down, and Bart made the point about, well, a lot of guys improve, and they do. This year would have been a year of major improvement. You saw it with Najee Harris at Alabama, the way he improved this year. You saw it with Devontae Smith. What would we have seen with Jamar Chase at LSU? What would we have seen with Levi Onwuzurike, defensive tackle at Washington? You know, Jay Toffoli at USC, Tyler Shelvin at LSU, defensive tackles. We don't know. So you're speculating, you're guessing, you're projecting again. So again, I think that will allow this draft where teams will penalize players or punish players for not playing and move them down a bit. If some teams do that enough, I've made the point that in the 3rd, 4th round, you're going to see second round value. In the late second round, you may see first round caliber talent. You may be able to take advantage of teams, you know, pushing those opt-outs down a little bit more than they should. So it's going to be really interesting come late April to see how this all plays out.
Mel, it's always fun to talk to you. I know you got to run and do SportsCenter, so we'll let you go a little bit early here. But we thank you for the time. We always look forward to these mocks because they create so much conversation about what's going to happen. But this one, this draft especially, is going to be real interesting, all things considered.
And Mel, my dream.
I appreciate it, guys. You guys have a phenomenal – oh, my gosh, you guys have a phenomenal show. Great job, man.
My dream was always to hear Mel Kiper speak my name, and it
only
took 12 years.
Well, at least he knows now, and he'll never forget. You are Saluki, and where you're from. There is no doubt.
He's a huge Ravens fan too, so
yeah,
we connect that way.
Yeah, but I just love that he even admitted why he created the one trade as well. I had to find a way to get Kyle Pitts to the Jets, and that's how it worked.
Kyle Pitts, I love that kind of tremendous talent, man. You think about what Kittles has been able to do for San Francisco. He has that same type of talent, and if you're if you're Saleh, you've been front and center to the dominance of what a tight end that can block and catch the football can do to your football team and help your quarterback, no matter how average Jimmy G was.
And again, if Sam is going to be the guy you go with, you want to find him that security blanket type, and this guy certainly has that kind of talent. That was Mel Kiper joining us on the Goodyear Hotline and giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So, let's just give the top 10 here. Trevor Lawrence to Jacksonville. The Jets trade number 2 to the Falcons, and the Falcons take Zach Wilson from BYU, and basically the heir apparent to Matty Ice. I do think it allows Zach Wilson and get that year under his belt without having to play right away.
Right.
Because I know he looked fantastic at BYU. I get it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot about that guy that red flags to me that really concern me, that we'll get into again as we get deeper to the draft. Number 3 would be the Dolphins, and they would take Devontae Smith. So they take the Heisman winner out of Alabama to add to their stable of talented wide receivers and obviously give Tua Tagovailoa that target. The Jets would move to 4 with the trade with the Falcons, and he's got them, as we mentioned, taking Kyle Pitts from Florida, the tight end that if you are keeping Sam Darnold, that makes sense. I know a lot of Jets fans, when they saw this morning, were reacting negatively. No, we got to get a wide receiver.
He is a
Jamar
great receiver.
Chase would have been next on the list. But as you mentioned, he's really not just a tight end.
Right. He's a guy that's out in the slot a lot. He can match up against, you know, corners easy. He's 6'6", and he's fast. He had almost 1,900 yards receiving in the last 2 seasons in college. He's a guy that got that yak, too. So he's a guy that could be a tremendous weapon for any quarterback.
Bengals at 5, and this makes total sense. Penny Sewell from Oregon.
Protect,
I mean, you
want to
get your
ACL.
Yeah, absolutely want to have somebody protect your number one pick from last year. So that makes a ton of sense as well. You get yourself somebody that could for a decade be in your offensive line. The Eagles, with if Jalen Hurts is their guy, you get him a Ja'Marr Chase, somebody to throw to, and they, you know, that's
two receivers. That's two first-time receivers in 2 years. Because last year they passed on Justin Jefferson and went and got Rieger from TCU, which was a total reach. So this is them admitting their issue and their problem that they picked the wrong guy last year.
And Ja'Marr Chase, everybody's excited about as an NFL prospect. So a lot of talk about him. And some, like I said, if you're the Jets, you know, wouldn't you go Chase? But if you have Denzel Mims, who didn't really play a lot, but he's got a ton of talent, you know, you go with the tight end. I understand
in the deepest
position.
Then
the next trade, you have the 49ers trading up with Detroit and getting Justin Fields. And boy, does that looks very interesting too with Jimmy G.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
with what's being said, John Lynch saying, "No, that Jimmy G's our guy, is he?"
Yeah, until he's not our guy.
He's Mr. Right now.
Well, you can send him. You can send him. Well, it's crazy because you would think that you can send Jimmy G in turn to New England, send him back home. You know, because they didn't want to train him before.
But as
you go down the mocky mock.
Yeah. So the Carolina Panthers, Mac Jones has been flying up the board from Alabama. I know you don't like him, but you can't deny,
bro.
His stability,
yep.
All that stuff about him.
Name me the last quarterback from Alabama not named Joe Namath that was any good in football in the pros.
You? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Richard Todd. the Patriots at 9 in a trade with Denver. Which Denver you would
think
might
Denver
want a quarterback.
Trade? Yeah, why the hell would Denver trade?
Like that,
why would they take Trey Lance?
But Trey Lance from North Dakota State would go to the Patriots, and boy, that would be interesting if the Patriots really get that aggressive. 10 would be Surtain.
Makes sense.
Patrick Surtain from Alabama, the corner, who's
makes
fantastic.
Sense.
Instead of going offense, they go defense because they need it.
He's legacy.
And just trying to be quick here, the Giants, I love this. Jalen Waddle, Alabama. Waddle is a talent, and boy, that would be a great addition to what they've got. Now, they could use a tight end too, but Waddle on the Giants.
Well, they got Ingram. He's nice. At times.
And then your Detroit Lions, I'll stop here at 12. Micah Parsons, a linebacker from Penn State, because Dan Campbell wants to bite kneecaps.
He's biting kneecaps. Who cares?
You're so depressed. Anyways, that was I love talking to Mel, so that was a lot of fun. So we'll keep up on the headlines as just catching you up. Russell Wilson now reportedly might be looking to push his way out of Seattle with the Dolphins, the Raiders, and the Jets as destinations that he would like to go to. Deshaun Watson continues. The Texans continue to say, we are not trading him. Deshaun, however, has gone to Twitter talking about loyalty and some people around him suggesting, he's not going to show up.
Yeah, that's too subtle. He got to go.
Drama. He's got to get a lot louder about things, no doubt. Coming up next, as you know, and again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number to be part of the conversation at Barton Hunt on Twitter as well. Coming up, as always, we have audio files where we let the headliners do all the talking, and we just react like you can too. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app. You know where else, Bart?
Where?
Your smart speaker.
What do you
I
say?
Like this beat. That's a good beat. I like this.
You say Shaniqua. Play ESPN.
Do you rename? Because, you know, you can change the name. They call it the wake word.
Okay, well, I just want to
do
stay
you change
woke.
Your wake word?
I just want to make it woke. First of all, I can't go with Alexa, none of that stuff, because I don't want
can you
them
because
they listening to
me. Do me a
favor,
finish chewing.
Huh? I wasn't chewing. I was swallowing.
I'm going to need that as a drop. It's ESPN Radio. It's Bart Nunn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, presented by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at progressivecommercial.com. You ready for this? Because we've done enough talking today, And there's plenty of other headlines to get to that we haven't gotten to yet or that we want to get back to. And we're going to do that in what we call audio files. All right, let's go around the world of sports, Bart Scott. Let's begin with our buddy, friend of the show, Kendrick Perkins, who was very aggressive when discussing. I believe this one, Get Up, right? I want to make sure I'm right. Get Up. Talking about a Celtics team, which we haven't talked about this year, a team that some people thought was going to be a contender. They have lost 11 of their last 16 games. And oh, by the way, if you really want to make your cousin from Boston, you want to make him like shudder? It was on KJZ. Okay. Make your friends from Boston shudder.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you one little tidbit about the Celtics. You ready for this one?
Give it to me.
The Celtics have the same record as the Knicks.
Oh. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Who has a better chance going to the playoffs?
Well, I mean, I'm not going back to that. Throw that damn thing out the window. But think about that. The Celtics have the same record as the Knicks. Who's to blame? Who's at fault? On KJZ points the finger at the coach. Take a listen.
Brad has to get held accountable. It was times when I was playing in Boston, Doc Rivers got held accountable. It's just that Brad is going to have to switch things up. If not, then Danny Ainge got to go out and find someone else that's going to come in and not be afraid to address Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and call them out in certain situations or call a timeout and go crazy on the sideline. Like, you need that. I don't know who could be the coach or who could replace Brad. I'm not even saying that Brad needs to get fired. I'm saying that Brad needs to elevate and he needs to get better and elevate his situation, elevate himself to help the Celtics, because right now he's not doing anything anyway.
Well, the one thing that Brad Stevens can't do, and I don't disagree with what Perk said there, because I do think, like, you got to change it up. But one thing that Brad can't do is get everybody healthy. How about this? Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker, and Marcus Smart have been on the floor together. That's the heart. That's their team. That's the core of their team. They've been on the floor together this season for a total of 28 minutes.
Wow.
That's hard to overcome that kind of player loss, but Tatum and Brown have been mostly on the team. I know Tatum went through COVID, and Tatum's also dealing with the after effects of COVID. He talked about it. But there's something going on in Boston. It's not good. It's trending the wrong way. And Danny Ainge's been trying to trade and make trades. And, you know, Trader Dan is out there trying to make something happen for this team. Yeah. But it's getting late to be early for the Celtics.
And it's crazy because there was reports out there that one of the trades that Houston would have taken was Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Well, you don't make that pick for James Harden, even though
one of them.
I think Marcus Smart and Marcus Smart, which he's such a glue guy, and I think that's what they're missing more, that grit, that guy that plays with tremendous effort that brings it every day to Draymond Green and their team is Marcus Smart. He's a guy that's fearless, and I think they're also missing Hayward in the scoring and the fact that Kemba can't get his shot off.
They do miss Gordon.
Kemba can't get his shot off this year. He was great last year.
Well,
he's a different player this year.
Is Kemba physically able to play the way he used to? That's a big question there as well. All right, Audio Files continues, and we're brought to you by AmeriSave Mortgage. You won't regret shopping AmeriSave.com for a lower mortgage rate. It only takes 3 minutes, and you could save AmeriSave yourself thousands. AmeriSave for yourself. Right now, as we move on in Audio Files, where do we go? We stay in the NBA. We go back to Jay Will. We go back to KJZ. We love the show. Jay Will, friend of the show as well. After the Jazz smoked the Lakers last night. And yes, no Anthony Davis. But still, LeBron James is on that team. And they got smoked. Now, all this talk about LeBron being an MVP, Jay Will said, that might have to stop. Take a listen.
Look, this is an opportunity for LeBron to either run away with the MVP award or give a lot of headway to guys like Joel Embiid and James Harden who are coming. I actually think Joel Embiid is in head now. I think James Harden is on his way. So I think LeBron is losing traction in that department considering the way they've lost. As it relates to Kyle Kuzma, I think if you're Rob Pelinka, you really have to start. What kind of trade asset is he right now with the way he's performing? Can you get value in return for somebody like Kyle Kuzma? Because he was supposed to be the guy. Dennis Schroeder and AD, not knowing what that situation is going to be with AD long term, you have to start looking to, can I get value in return for Kyle Kuzma?
Let me give you this. Over the last five games, obviously the Lakers have lost four in a row, and it's the last five games since Anthony Davis' injury, which was on Valentine's Day. So the Lakers obviously as a team have not performed well at all. How about LeBron? So in the last five games, in the previous games before AD's injury, LeBron was averaging 25.5 points a game, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, and he was shooting 50% from the field, 38 from three, and 71% from the free throw line in under 35 minutes a game. Over the last five games, he has an uptick in scoring, 26.2 per game. The rebounds and the assists still the same, shooting 52% from the field. But his free throw shooting is down to 68%. And more importantly, he's 6-for-33 from three.
Oh.
So he's struggling with the outside shot.
But why do you miss free throws?
Fatigue.
Ah.
Three-pointers and free throws usually is a sign
of
fatigue.
Need your legs. Weak legs.
But he can't afford to take that time. He can't shut it down. He can't stop playing because the Lakers will be a lottery team without him.
But that's why you need Kuzma to step up.
Well, I thought that was interesting what Jay said is, does Kuzma become a trade asset if he can't become a guy that can rise up and be, all right, I'll be the number two right now and fill those shoes.
Send him home.
Maybe that's just
send him
not
home
who
for Blake
he
Griffin.
Is.
Send him home for Blake Griffin.
That's awful. Let's retract that from the show. That never happened.
I'm just trying to send him back home, man. That's all.
Last but not least, we go to baseball. Spring training underway. Workouts are underway. The Yankees are underway. Trying to avoid a 12th straight season of not getting to the World Series, never mind winning one.
Yeah.
But Aaron Judge, a huge story for them, as I've talked about. Aaron Judge, who, by the way, do you know he got the gap in his teeth? He got that fixed.
He got no straight hand? He got a Invisalign, smile bright?
He decided he wanted to get it fixed, so he got it fixed, so he doesn't have that anymore, which is part of his trademark.
Apple, so when he bites his apple, it's not like that little line in the middle no more?
Doesn't get stuck there either, trust me, I know. But, all right. But still, he is now in a situation where, to avoid arbitration, he would want to get himself signed to a long-term deal. The problem with him, it's not his ability, it's his durability. He's never available for his team. So the Yankees are saying, we're not giving you anything until we can see you get through a whole season healthy and carry us the way you look like you could as a rookie when you hit 52 home runs. And Aaron Judge, listen to this. It was very interesting. Aaron Judge kind of agrees. Listen.
No, we haven't. You know, nothing on our end. You know, nothing from the Yankees. You know, I think they had more important things to focus on, you know, this offseason, especially, you know, getting back DJ, getting back, you know, Guardy, you know, adding some special arms, you know, so, you know, our time's, you know, coming down the road, you know, something I don't really want to focus on right now. I'm focused on trying to win and, you know, that's it, you know, just do my job. And, you know, like I said, you know, they got other things to focus on right now and, you know, things that are going to help us, you know, be a better team.
Now, before you may give your take, because I see the face you're making, I will say this. I think Aaron Judge is trying to be a leader by saying, I'm not going to put my contract status into public and make it a conversation that'll then turn into something that'll carry through the season. So I'm going to squash it now and say, there'll be time for that. There's no time to talk about it now. He was very humble there. Oh, they got bigger things to talk about. Like, dude, you're the biggest player on the team, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
But I like how he handled that. I'm not being critical. I thought he handled that the best way you can. Let's not make this a thing, guys. I'm not waiting for a contract. They've got things they had to do. I'll wait. We'll get to that point at some point. But I do think this is a prove-it season for him. I mean, this is prove it or move it, if you ask me, for Aaron Judge.
And that is exactly why he said nothing, because he understands that he has to perform. And if he performs, now he puts pressure on the team. Right now, he would have to give the team a discount, much like Hicks did, much like Severino did. So he's like, you know what, let me go out here and ball out so they can't say, well, you haven't stayed healthy if I'm coming off a healthy season in which I played all the games. Now, I know him and Stanton is doing the namaste, and they're sitting there in downward dog and tree poles and all that stuff trying to figure out. I think it's more pressure on their training staff than it is on anybody else, because if you look at the injuries for the last 2 years, you're like, what is going on in New York? It used to be the Mets that always had people being injured. So I think the pressure is on them to keep these guys available. The problem is he plays a great outfield, but it's a reason we haven't seen big guys out there like that diving, whether it's his shoulder, his calf, or things like that, playing in a place where it's cold. It's always going to be opportunity when you're a fast twitch guy to hurt those pieces, man. So we're going to see if he's going to put some money in his pocket. To do that, he has to stay available, and he has to make sure that he's able to play most of the games, and they're going to have to do something to figure out who's the DH. And I never knew. I thought that was a joke when I saw that they brought back Bruce Willis. I didn't know they brought back Brett Gardner. What the hell going on? They ain't got Brett the juice Gardner. Balls. No, they ain't got
how
the juice.
Dare you.
They don't have the juice balls no more.
Come on, Brett Gardner. How could you hate Brett Gardner? You're not paying a lot for him, and he's a great guy in the clubhouse, and he fits all different positions.
Still's old as hell.
Yankees better. They better get to the World Series this year, because this wait till next year crap is becoming too Cubs like.
I'm done with it.
And you need Aaron Judge to also be healthy. That'd be great too. All right, that's Audio Files. Great job, Bart, as always. Coming up next, Russell Wilson reportedly pushing his way out of Seattle, with Deshaun Watson also kind of lingering out there as well. What would be the cost for a guy like Russell Wilson? We'll discuss. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
I love this song.
There you go.
Yeah.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. If you miss Mel Kiper and all his hair splendor and
when
his
does he
energy.
Get a Head and Shoulders? When does he get a Head and Shoulders contract, man? What's
point.
Up,
How
man?
How has he not done one yet?
He had the,
you can hear
vampire
though,
hair.
You can hear it on
come
our
to
podcast.
Suck your blood.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, just type in Bart and Hahn, and there it is. And you don't want to miss that one. Bart, before we go, so the news, as we talked about earlier in the show, The Athletic reporting that Russell Wilson's camp has approached Seattle for a potential trade, listing destinations like the Dolphins, Jets, and Raiders, and Saints. Adam Schefter recently put out a report, you see it right now on Plus, saying he has not demanded a trade. His agent, Mark Rogers, is telling ESPN. He told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, he'd go to the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears, and in
not,
the Jets.
And not, yeah, thanks.
No, if you're the Jets fan, you're just...
We're gonna put the rat thing outside of his house in New York, because he just treating us like trash.
the
big blow up, like non-union rat.
But are you giving up a ton for him at 30? What is he? 33?
32? He's 32. 30,
well, he's gonna be 33. Do you give up a ton for him? Like,
you
I
do.
Don't know.
You do, because this dude is one of the most elite quarterbacks in the game. He's just starting to hit his peak. He doesn't get hurt. He's a guy that can play in any system. He's mobile when he has to be, but he can kill you from the pocket.
We'll have to talk about this more tomorrow, my man. That's what we'll do. So you know what? I'll see you then.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.